Most relevant and stimulating arts programmes on any Dublin radio station. Dublin City FM.
Hello, good evening and welcome to Artbeat on 103.2 Dublin City FM with myself, Suzanne Parker. Tonight on the show, we'll be joined by Jesse Jones to speak about the Prosperity Project, and we will also be joined live in studio by Chris Marr to speak about the Dublin Soul Festival happening this weekend. Our music this evening is an album from Melody Gardeau entitled My One and Only Thrill, and this is Our Love is Easy.
Within your heart, you know it's plain to see, like Adam was to Eve, you were made for me. They say a poison vine breeds a fine wine. Our love is easy. Ask me plainly, I would gladly say I'd like to have you round just for them rainy days. I like the touch of your hand, the way you make no demands. Our love is easy. Our love is easy. Water rushing over stone. Oh, our love is easy, like no love I've ever known. Physically speaking, we were made to last. Examine all the pieces of our recent past. As your mouth I taste, your hands around my waist. Our love is easy. Every time we meet, it's like the first we kiss, never growing tired of this endless mess. It's a simple thing. We don't need a ring. Our love is easy. Our love is easy. Rushing over stone. Oh, our love is easy, like no love I've ever known.
Oh.
Deep within your heart, you know it's plain to see. Like Adam was to Eve, you were made for me. They say the poison line breeds a final one.
I am delighted to be joined by Jessie Jones from the Prosperity Project. Jessie, thank you very much for joining me. Thank you. The Prosperity Project is taking place between May 2013 and January 14 in the Convention Centre and other venues around the city. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, I was asked to respond to a public art commission for the Convention Centre by the OPW and CREATE, and I was really, I guess, thinking about the idea of a Convention Centre and the kind of like temporary convergences that happen there, and the idea generation that happens there, and how that could be framed as a kind of arts and cultural project.
Yeah. So what exactly is the project about?
I suppose it's when I was thinking about the building and kind of what it had stood for, I was thinking about the idea of the moment after the Celtic Tiger and the kind of expectations that we had around economics at that time. And just thinking about the constant narrative of austerity and how we might find a kind of exit strategy to that by looking at the idea of a prosperity in Ireland today, and what in fact that could mean, away from kind of economic indexical growth measurements prosperity, but a kind of social and relational prosperity.
Okay, and the conference is taking place over a 9-month period. What will be really happening during the 9 months in the project?
Yeah, well, it's basically a process of 6 live events. So I suppose as an artist, I usually make films, but I'm working kind of programmatically at the moment. We had our first launch event last week, and for that I invited a Korean musician, Kung So Park, to come to Dublin and work with Cormac de Barra, an Irish harp player, for a week and create a kind of call and response between the two musical traditions of Korea and Ireland. So in a way, thinking about the kind of prosperity and mobility of music and musical tradition, and to kind of make this hybrid moment between these two cultures. So I suppose thinking about prosperity in a very expanded way, not just about economics and how we measure material prosperity of a nation, but the kind of prosperity that's represented in, even in our diaspora, what kind of moments of cultural prosperity are being generated at the moment.
Yeah, and you're also asking for the public to get involved. How can they?
Well, people came. Last week we had quite a few kind of public moments, the first being a project called The Green Machine with Ian Boal, a social historian of science and the technics, who came over and spent a week in Dublin and kind of met with people. And we organised a bike tour that looked at the political history of the bicycle, and in particular in relation to the Docklands areas. And we went around and we met with various community groups and community centres. And what we found from that kind of field work was that there's people in the city who are really diligently dealing with austerity measures, but still pushing towards a kind of a socially inclusive and prosperous city through working in communities, whether it be youth work or also activists and bicycle campaigners, that there's a lot of energy and positive energy in the city within the city's inhabitants and within our communities.
Yeah, the project has a base of really in society and social norms and connections, and some of Dublin's key thinkers are going to be involved in the project as well.
Well, I mean, when we had Ian over last week, it was quite exciting. I had met Ian last year as part of a project in Whitstable called Stages in the Revolution, and he made a kind of tour of the Whitstable Bay and talked about the political history of the oyster in relation to class and economics. And so that was quite exciting to have him in Dublin and meeting people and just yeah. kind of I asked them to come and take a reading, kind of take the temperature of post-Celtic Tiger Dublin and how it was affecting people on the ground. But we're hoping to make more connections and announce further collaborations. But also, as well as that, I suppose we're I'm programming at the moment for later on in the year a visit by Chi Wang Yang, an LA-based performance artist and director, who's going to do a series of embodied workshops.
Okay.
And also a musician called Lydia Kavina. So as well as like quite discursive events, I'm also thinking about the kind of the role of embodiment and
yeah.
Enchantment and the kind of experiential in terms of the conference. So it's not just all talking and discourse. It is really about kind of the sensory as well. Our next event is going to be on the 8th of June. And this, I'm quite excited about this. We've been working with the Korean Irish Society and an art actionist group called Mouth. And they make, I guess, food and speculative philosophical projects using food as a kind of theatrical gesture. So they're proposing a banquet based on the history of famine in both Irish and Korean culture as a kind of scarcity banquet.
Okay. And who is the project focused at? Who is the main audience?
I think it's quite expansive. I wouldn't have like a prescriptive
yeah.
audience in mind whatsoever. I mean, usually when I make artworks, I suppose there's an art audience for that, but also, I mean, a lot of my films kind of look at the history of cinema, but also the political. The last film I made in Korea looked at the history of the Troubles in Northern Ireland, working with 11 Korean television actors. So it is quite kind of eclectic. So the audience is always quite eclectic for the work itself, you know.
Yeah. And how's the project being funded is another question.
It's actually the Percent for Arts scheme. So the Convention Centre's Percent for Arts funding.
Okay. And the final piece of the Prosperity Project is an exhibition in the Convention Centre.
Yeah, well, that'll actually be a permanent artwork. So at the moment, I'm in kind of pre-production for that. But the six live events, I suppose, is a way for me to kind of make my studio live, or kind of an artist that I collaborate with, Edith Knoll, described it as making a film but without any cameras, you know.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the live events will lead up to the kind of archiving of these six events over the duration of the year.
Yeah.
And from that, I'll generate an image archive that then will go on to become the final printed material piece.
Okay.
So I made a project in the Hugh Lane last year, which was kind of the inspiration for it as well, which was a series of silkscreen printed reflective surfaces. So that's going to be, I suppose, the physical lasting legacy of the work. But I'm really hoping that there's other more kind of experiential and kind of legacies of relationships in the city and kind of elective communities that kind of circle around the project, you know?
Yeah. And before I let you go, anyone listening that wants to get some more information on the project and the upcoming events, where should they go?
Well, we're hoping to launch a website in the next 2 weeks, but at the moment, the best way to get in touch is by going to www.create.ie, which is CREATE is the National Development Agency for the Arts, the Collaborative Arts, sorry. So they would be the kind of the key producer for the project, so they would be the best people to contact. So
fantastic.
We also will be launching an Eventbrite for booking tickets to the Scarcity Banquet. In 3 weeks. So.
Fantastic. Well, look, I would love to hear how the project is developing over the next couple of months, and maybe
yeah.
you'll come back on the
Great.
Program
Let's
and give me an update.
Cool.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for joining me.
Nice to talk
Thanks.
To you.
Bye. Bye-bye. And many thanks to Jessie Jones for joining me on the show. And anyone looking for information on the Prosperity Project should visit www.create-ireland.ie. Before we are joined by Chris Marr, we're going to have another song from Melody Gardot called Deep Within the Corners of My Mind.
Deep
within the corners of my mind. I keep a memory of your face, and I only pull it out when I long for your embrace. Deep within the corners of my mind, I'm haunted by a smile as it promises me joy, like a journey to a tropic island. It's not hard to see what you do to me is like a page right out of Ernest Hemingway. Though I try to fight, all the words you write leave me standing in the starring role in some tragic lover's play. But deep within the corners of my mind, I'm praying secretly that eventually in time there'll be a place for you and me. That eventually, in time, there'll be a place for you and me. There'll be a place for you and me, deep within the corners of my.
And the 7th annual Soul Festival is taking place this weekend, and I am delighted to be joined by the festival founder, Chris Marr, who's live in the studio with me.
Yes, I am alive. Give me a pinch. Yeah.
This is a very unique festival. Can you tell me a little bit about it, Chris?
Yeah, well, it's the Dublin City Soul Festival, and basically, I suppose anyone who knows me from Dublin City FM kind of presumes that it's purely a soul music festival, and there is plenty of soul music dipped in there, but really it's a feel-good festival, and the whole idea is that I wanted to create something for Dublin and for Ireland that would be a showcase and would attract tourists from around the world and just be a reason to go out and have a good time and to gather and to listen to, you know, emerging artists, of which we have so many on this island, and they don't get a huge amount of airplay. Obviously they get well played here on Dublin City FM, but on the commercial stations they don't, which I always think is a shame, because as I say, there are so many, and I've been surprised in the 7 years that I've been doing this, and I don't know how that happened, there's just so many amazing artists, and every time I come across another one I kind of go, wow, they're amazing, how come I don't hear more about them?
Yeah,
you know, and so the festival's really, that's part of what it is about, is to kind of say, look, come and check out some amazing bands. You probably won't have heard of any of them or most of them, but when you come and see them, you'll be fans for life. And that's kind of what it's all about. And yeah. The music is the big thing. We've, over the years, we've had other elements where we've offered food and other bits and pieces, but I suppose we've kind of streamlined it now because there's just not a huge amount of funding around for festivals. So to try and keep it going, you know, we've had to look at how we can do that.
And how has it evolved year after year? Like 7 years ago, you came up with the idea. Was it a small festival at the time or?
Well, 7 years ago when I came up with the idea, I think, I don't know if somebody put something in the water or I got a bump on the head, but I thought it would be a great idea to create this festival. And I suppose when I come up with an idea, I can see it to completion in my head. And I had this what I felt was a fantastic vision for the city, that we would have a festival that could attract, you know, 500,000 to 1 million people. And just to put that into perspective, if you look at somewhere like Edinburgh, which has a population similar to Dublin, and they have some huge festivals that generate huge amounts of money. And, you know, we don't really have that here in Ireland. And that's with all due respect to the great festivals that we do have. Most of the festivals that we have are festivals that you can get anywhere else in Europe or beyond. And I suppose what I was trying to do was try and create something really unique. Unfortunately, what I've discovered is there isn't a huge amount of support out there. You know, just the I suppose the Dublin City Council and Fáilte Ireland, in fairness to them, they do give us some money. As a festival organiser, I would argue that it's not enough. And that's not to have a knock at them. That's just to say that I feel we need to get more serious about tourism. It is, or I feel it should be, the number one or one of the number one things in terms of our economy. And, you know, we get about 1% of the available cultural tourism pie at the moment. And that's just focusing on Europe. It's worth billions.
Yeah.
And with all the talk that we won't get into here today, doom and gloom and no money and all this, this is such an easy way to fix it. You know, attract people to Ireland, let them come. And you know, we're so well known around the world for our music and our literature and our arts and our culture. We just need to tell people, yeah, and show them and put on a show for them, and they will come and they'll spend their money and they'll sleep in our hotels and they'll eat food in our restaurants and drink and go and see bands and shops and all that. And all of a sudden the situation isn't that serious. So that's, I suppose, that's where I was coming from when I decided to do this. I suppose, and this was before the recession was announced.
Yeah.
And maybe if I had known it was going to be the way it was, I mightn't have done it. But I suppose I wanted to do something for the city, and rather than kind of be sitting in the pub giving out about what was happening or what wasn't happening at the time, I just said, well, feck it, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and do it. And here I am 7 years later, still doing it, not getting paid for it, but that's something I'm trying to work my way around.
What will be happening over the weekend? What are the highlights?
Well, I suppose we've as I said, we've streamlined the whole festival. So there's two things happening. We're in Merrion Square on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. And that's the Soul Picnic. So literally, gates are open at 9 o'clock. The music starts at midday and it runs till six. And we have about 10 bands a day. Amazing, amazing acts and some special guests, which I can't talk about here, but are brilliant, right? And well worth coming to see alone. I mean, literally, put it this way. If you were buying a ticket, you'd be paying, you know, probably €80 to come and see all these bands if you were going to like one of the traditional kind of commercially based festivals. So this is a fantastic day. Touch wood, we've had sunshine every single year for the last 6 years. So this is year seven and we're kind of hoping that we get our sunshine again. And literally people come, bring your picnic blanket, bring your friends, bring your grannies and granddads, brothers and sisters, and just come and enjoy it. Sit down in the park and just chill out. You can bring the dog if you want to bring the dog.
My dogs would love it.
Plenty of people do. And it's great. And it's just a really nice, I suppose, way of people gathering together. And you know, it's a community kind of thing, which, you know, brings people closer. And I was talking about tourism. The number one thing the tourists want is to hang out with us. That's what a cultural tourist is. This is not my opinion. This is Fáilte Ireland has spent millions on research. And so this is, you know, this is the perfect environment for them to get what they want.
Yeah.
And like 33% of our audience is coming from overseas. And we had 28,500 people last year. So that's a lot of people. It generates about €1 million for the economy.
Well, something that's very different about this festival is it is free. And also there's no alcohol involved.
Yeah, well, now, the alcohol is a touchy one because I would actually like to be able to serve alcohol in the park.
Okay.
But, you know, I suppose I'm half Swiss. My mother, on my mother's side, although I was born and bred in Ireland, and I don't have this fascination with drink, where I feel like I must drink 16 pints every single Friday and Saturday night. And I'm not knocking anyone that does. I feel, you know, if you want to do something, go and do it. And as long as you're not harming anyone else, it's your own business. But they just won't let us do it in the park. And, you know, I think, you know, if somebody wants to have a glass of wine or a glass of champagne or a beer, why not? In the sunshine in the park. But at the moment, they're not allowed to do that. So that doesn't happen. But it's amazing. There's just, you know, people enjoy it anyway and they'll have a great time. And I suppose at the back of everything, we are asking people to consider, you know, making a donation.
Yes.
Any money that we raise goes towards the Musical Youth Foundation, which is the children's charity that we've set up. And basically we buy instruments and tuition for at-risk children. And we've got 7 centres operating at the moment. So what I'm saying to people is come to Merrion Square Park this weekend. You'll find all the details on soul.ie. If you can afford a fiver, give us a fiver, and we would reward you with a raffle ticket. And we basically got only 5,000 of these raffle tickets. So put it this way, 2,500 people a day, if you want to work it out that way. And we have these amazing pieces of instrumental art, which are basically, if you haven't heard of them before, there's guitars that have been completely transformed. They're old broken guitars that instead of throwing them out, we transform them. And people can see them on myf.ie or even go to soul.ie. They'll find their way around. We'll have them in the park on the day. So, you know, free music concert, free raffle ticket for a small donation. And, you know, if everybody is generous and throws a couple of euro into the bucket, we can help a lot of kids this year.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about the charity, just the work that it does in Dublin?
Yeah. So, well, basically, I suppose I wanted to have a bigger impact than just the 4 days of the festival. And I was looking at how we best can do that. And obviously, because, you know, the large part of the festival is music based, it kind of made sense to look at something musical.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, how do you make the world a better place? How do you make Ireland and Dublin a better place? And how do you make it easier for people? And I think it starts at a young age. You've got to get to the kids. You've got to, and education, you know, it's the most valuable gift that you can give anybody in life is to give them a good education, because from there they can go and do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all this kind of in the atmosphere of funding cuts, and I just think it's crazy to be cutting education, because that's just, if you look 10, 20 years down the road, that's just causing lots and lots of problems that are actually going to end up costing more for our economy. So anyway, the long way of saying the Musical Youth Foundation was born. We go into we go into community centres and we provide professional tuition, we provide instruments, we bring in different singer-songwriters and different musicians to perform for the kids. Because again, if you think about it, where do young people get to see live music?
Yeah.
Apart from at the Soul Festival, of course. They don't. They really don't. I suppose they consume it through the television these days. And I mean, there's this.
That's not music.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't want to go on another rant about that. So, you know, it's an amazing thing, and it's amazing to see how a child responds. And the other thing, and the important thing to say, is that, you know, it's kind of the Irish thing where people go, oh yeah, sure, Jesus, I would have loved a guitar when I was 8 as well, you know. It's not about creating lots of little musicians, although inevitably some children, you know, will just become, you know, professional musicians because they just have a particular talent for it. But it's actually what music gives you academically. It can help you in every other area of your life. And number one, it's opportunity and it's confidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just trying to do something cool and something better. And everybody that comes together, you know, everyone's volunteer. I don't get paid myself. You know, this is kind of a labour of love that has gone on for way too long at this stage. But anyway, we're at 7 now, so, like, you know, you kind of have to get till 10 and then you consider maybe knocking it on the head. So I don't know, people come to this, tell your friends to come to it. It's, if you haven't heard of it before, it's something really, really special. Yes, you'd expect me to say that as the organizer, but I mean, I'm still surprised how amazing, you know, it has all become and how it works out that, you know, because we've no money for advertising, and it's really down to Dublin City FM, who've been fantastic supporters of this event since day one. They broadcast the entire Sunday live every year, 6 hours. I mean, there's no other radio station in the country that would give over as much of their airtime. And it's just great. I mean, come along and see if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and we're doing it again this Sunday. We're going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 6 on Sunday. And Chris, you'll also be joining Aisling on the Sessions, which is the next programme. So stay in the studio.
Well, I'll kind of be in the background because Sal Vitro, an amazing, amazing band, are coming in. So, like, they're going to do all the stuff. They're going to play music and chat. And I'll just be here to correct them if they get anything wrong, which I'm sure they won't.
Just before I let you go, anyone looking for more information, what is the website?
soul.ie.
Soul.ie. Well, thank you very much for joining me in the studio, and I wish you the best of luck with the festival.
Thank you for having me. We'll see you at the weekend.
And I'm afraid that's all we have time for on tonight's show. Many thanks to both of my guests, Jesse Jones from the Prosperity Project and Chris Marr from the Dublin Soul Festival. Many thanks to Martin on sound. And I'm going to leave you with a final song. I'm not, we don't have time. Join us again next week. Stay tuned with Aisling with the Sessions.